Hey, welcome to Girls in Heels. Hi, girls.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
How are your heels?
I got, yeah.
My heels are very good. I know Nicole's Valentino'd out today.
Wow, nice.
I feel like getting dressed today.
Okay, good. So we'll talk about, maybe we'll talk about shoes today for the first time. But we are going to talk about what's going on with Kelly and Michael.
Yes.
Big story. Lots of controversy out there. And then also, we should probably also talk about why Reno was tweeting in a tuxedo all weekend.
Yes.
Probably a good idea. Welcome to Girls in Heels. I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence, my co-host, Teresa and Nicole. You know them by now from Real Housewives of New Jersey and from the Girls in Heels podcast. I mean, here we are. You guys know us by now.
Absolutely.
I know. Everybody knows
us. All right. So first of all, let's talk about this Kelly and Michael thing, because first, when I heard about it, my initial response was, ugh, what a diva. She should go to work. And then I read about it some more and I thought, I am with her. I support her 100%, and I cannot stand this anti-feminism thing that's going on in the television world where, like, women are disposable. We don't have to make decisions that concern them. It's like, this decision concerns her. She allowed him to come on her show. She helped get him the job.
Yes.
And instead of saying, you know what, listen, I'm going to go do GMA full-time, let's present this as a unit because you're going to continue this show and I want you to have the respect of the audience. He didn't do that. He did it behind her back.
He's a dirty dog. What else is new?
Dirty dog. What do you think?
There's very few men that
are, to be honest with you,
that do the right thing and are gentlemen. That's what I have to say.
I've had a lot of events since Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and I've actually been staying in the city all weekend. So I've kind of really haven't, if anyone's noticed, I really didn't post pictures or I really was on social media. I was kind of just really enjoying my time. So I kind of really wasn't
present in the moment.
I was being present. But Reno was kind of filling me in. I did not realize that he dropped this bomb on national television. He just said that he was leaving.
Yeah,
is that true? I mean, that's horrible. This was behind her back. So I think he's awful. I think he's a creep. Did you know that, Nicole?
I absolutely did know it, and there was just no respect there. So I thought that was kind of low on his part.
And once again, because Regis Philbin did the same thing to her when he left in 2011. He told her 20 minutes before they went on the air. Now imagine the three of us are doing this show and 20 minutes before we go on the air, I tell you guys I'm leaving. Like, I mean, that's a conversation you have. I'm not leaving, but that's a conversation.
Whoa. As partners, you need to have respect, right? It's a business partnership.
Of course.
They were partners. They were in a relationship. Wow. That's awful. And now I heard Andy Cohen, right? Is she really
maybe
likes him for the spot?
Maybe vying for the spot.
I think she really
Andy,
likes him, right?
Also, Cooper.
Anderson Cooper.
He's another one, which they're very good friends.
And
Andy
Reno
and
Aprea.
No,
Reno
I wish. Neil Patrick Harris is the other. She loves her gay men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be one of the three of them. So they're choosing between three men who happen to all be gay, which I think is awesome. But also, they've also co-hosted the show before, and they're all really good at
it.
And she likes them.
And they're close, and they would never screw her over. No, I mean, because I know she's very close with Andy.
Right. So it helps when you work with your friends and you do something really cool with them. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that he would do this to her because now they just renewed the show through 2020. So she has to come to work every day knowing that
when
the audience...
Leaving?
September.
Oh, that really sucks.
Yeah. She has to come to work every day knowing this whole thing, knowing the audience is looking at her thinking she doesn't matter. Like, first of all, we wonder, like, do they even like each other at this point? There's no way they do.
Well, I heard she didn't want to go back, right? She was kind of really pissy, and then
said
of her contract.
She left.
Yeah, that's
she
what
left.
I heard.
They had Anna Gasteyer filled in one day. Bless you. Anna Gasteyer filled in one day, and
bless you
again, honey.
Thank you, everyone.
Bless you, Teresa.
That means it's true.
Exactly.
Anna Gasteyer filled in. Erin Andrews filled in. Kelly Ripa was like, fuck you all. I'm not coming back. How dare you do this to me? And people went berserk. Like, what a diva. But take it out of the context of television.
Diva. This has been her show for
how many years
now?
This is right. And she deserves every bit to be
She's
a diva.
She's proved herself. Come on.
Right. But the fact that we have to have this conversation, the fact that she does not have a seat at the table, the fact that she was not even considered in this major decision that affects her is the problem. And it just says something
about
how men
view
made
women,
a decision
right? Without
and
her.
The women have to just deal with the fallout and just stand by idly.
It truly was a smack in her face.
Yeah,
but it just goes to show. We got to turn the tables here, guys.
You know what I realize is very few people who really know what respect is now these days.
Yeah.
And it's such an important thing in life. And we're teaching our boys, Teresa, that's how we're growing them up. But there's very few men out there who really know the meaning of respect. And my father, growing up, has always taught us that. Even as women, you always, the person you're with, the people who you're around, you always respect that person. And especially
respect and cherish. Those are two major things he always said in a relationship.
Two major things.
Respect and cherish.
And it just goes to show you, these men just did not respect Kelly Ripper and how she would feel or feel.
No, but I think it's more of her being a woman that they kind of, she kind of got like the, you know,
that's what I'm saying. There's very few men who respect women out there.
I think they rule the world.
I mean, when Michael when Michael Strahan left his sports show, I don't know if he left it, but I think he's doing. I mean, he must have left it by now.
And he was a commentator.
Yeah, you don't think he told everybody else that he works with the other guys who were sitting at the panel with him? Of course he told.
Of course
them.
He did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course he did. I mean, he's a football player. He understands team mentality, so it's even more like fuck you because you get what this is.
Right.
You
There's
get
no
it.
In team, seriously.
Right.
He was an athlete. He does. He should know this by now.
Right.
It's not about you.
Right. Which
well,
makes.
I'm not liking him, so I don't even.
Oh, I don't like
him
anymore. I think that just says everything. Everything about his character
is.
And who he is and who he stands for. And right now, it's lower than an ant's ass in my book.
Lower than an ant's ass.
Whoa, Nicole.
That's good. I
Nicole
agree.
Nicole is very intense today, I'm feeling. Because I haven't seen you. Well, then again, I did
we had breakfast this morning in the city.
Right, but I haven't seen you in like 2 days.
Beautiful
we had
Monday
a great
morning.
Breakfast. Nicole.
Where'd you go?
Penelope's on
it's
Lexington
a great place.
Avenue.
And 30th? Really good.
39.
A little place, breakfast place.
Yeah,
delish.
30th and Lex.
Really good. Really, really good. Good coffee, good breakfast. The bread was good. And
so you've been in the city, Teresa, for like
yes,
all weekend.
Morning. Yeah,
what's
yeah,
going on? Why have you been here? What are you doing?
Okay, now when we had fun, we went to Va Bella, which I love, that Italian restaurant in the Meatpacking District.
Right, great
amazing.
Place.
Amazing. Great wine Saturday night with friends. And then yesterday, really good friends of ours, good friends of Reno, they had a party at the Rainbow Room. And it was, I'd say, the Rainbow Room is just, you feel like you're back in the day, like the Great Gatsby. Like, I just love that room. I haven't been there.
Big chandeliers, the whole thing.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
The band, the orchestra was.
There's nothing like an orchestra.
Nicole?
Hold on, you went from an orchestra to Franz Jolie.
Well, you know what happened? Number one, I heard the orchestra was amazing, and I heard they spent something like $35,000 just on the orchestra.
Well, the party was $350,000. So.
Well, that's
what was this party for?
You know what it was? They just it was a
celebration.
It was a really good friend. It was a celebration. I think he was it like when you walked in, they had like you know when you take the pictures on the red carpet, it said 50, 75, 100. And I'm like, Reno, what's that about? He's like, I think they were married 50 years. I think he was 70. He turned 75. And basically the 100
lived
was.
To,
and for another 100 years.
Aww.
So they really know how to have fun. And yeah, Reno has some really great friends. And it was just a great party. Everything. So now they had an amazing orchestra, which was to die for. Then Frangeli was there. I remember the 70s, Frangeli.
No. Who's
come
that?
Come to me.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Tavares. Heaven must be missing an angel.
No way.
Wait a second. No, but they were
a fundraiser.
Tavares, Frangeli, they were friends. Like, they were, like, sitting there. Oh, Cool in the Gang.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That must have been amazing.
It was, I mean, and he's good friends with this guy. So it was just a great, great party. And I was laughing because Reno and I just, we just dance all the time. I look for any event to just, you know, cocktails, drinks, dance all night. And we just had a blast. And then Tavares was singing first, love, love, love. And then, but then before you knew it, I kept saying, Reno, go tell him to play Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel. That's my favorite song. I always dedicated to Giovanni and my nephews, Anthony
when
and Joey.
When they were born?
When they were born. All of a sudden, but then Tavares gets off the stage and Cool and the Gang starts singing.
While We Are Family?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And Reno goes up to him and is like, my wife. I go, Reno, I told you that a half hour ago. My wife loves Heaven Must Be Missing Angel. That's her favorite song by you. Can you please sing it? And I see Cool and the Gang looking at him like, you ass. Like, I didn't even sing that song.
Wait, he didn't sing his hit? He didn't get up and sing the hit.
Tavares sang Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel.
I know.
He waited until Kool and the Gang got up on stage, and he went up to them and said, "You sing my wife's favorite song."
Yeah, I'm
wrong person, Reno.
Oh, wait. So Reno went over to Kool and the Gang.
Yes, and
asked
him to sing a Tavares song. I'm like, Reno, Reno doesn't know all these 70s people. I am like a 70s freak. I love them. So, yeah, but we
it was a great.
So that's why Reno was posting. Oh, and then you know who else? Who's the older man? Not Uncle Junior, but from The Sopranos. A lot of people from The Sopranos too.
Wow.
He's friends with the old man. He's Nobly Don, and he Gervaisi. What's his name? The old man.
I don't know.
Junior? No, not Uncle Junior. The other one. He's the old Neapolitan. He sings all the Neapolitan songs. He was there, and he sang with.
Did he sing some Italian songs?
Yes, from Naples. So I mean, it was a great party. The Rainbow Room was awesome. So we stayed in the city. We did a little shopping yesterday. Nicole met us this morning for breakfast. I have to say, oh, and that's what I was going to ask you. Now, obviously, I've become a Jersey girl, and I 5:15, 5:30, 6:45. I mean, all hours of the morning, I hear the birds singing.
Sure.
And I say
chirping.
It all the time.
I like how you say singing, Teresa.
Well, they chirp,
like
they sing.
Cinderella.
No, and
she's
birds
Snow White.
Singing,
yeah.
Snow White.
But I want to say
the birds are chirping. They're singing.
No, because I feel like I'm in a Disney movie.
Do they talk
being
to you, too?
Being in the city, I'm not used to it.
Do the squirrels do your laundry?
Yeah. No. Yes, they air out my dresses. No, but you know what, Cooper? You live in the city.
Uh-huh.
It's a very, number one, I love it. I could definitely get an apartment here
right.
and do weekends. But how is it? How do you sleep? Do you have a little, like, a sound machine? Or I used to, garbage trucks in the morning, and I hear cop cars throughout the night. Like, it's amazing when you're in the city.
You must have been staying in Midtown. I live in a very quiet neighborhood. Mm. It feels like you're up in the country.
Really?
Not only do I live on a cul-de-sac, like a dead-end street.
Oh, that's right.
So there's no
yes.
through traffic there at all.
So you do.
I live so far east that
right.
there's no big
heavy
cross streets. Yeah, I live on like a
right.
side street.
I was right
it's
on
so
Madison.
It's so quiet
yep.
in my neighborhood, and I face the avenue. The people in my building who face the back of the building, like I thought my apartment was quiet.
Really?
Theirs, oh my God, it's even more quiet. Like
oh, nice.
Mine, like if somebody honks a horn a couple blocks away, you could probably hear it.
Right.
But with them, they can't even hear that. So
really?
There's places you can live in the city that are just... Like, you can hear a pin drop.
I mean, I love it. I grew up in Brooklyn, so I'm kind of used to... I mean, it wasn't as quiet as Jersey, but it was so funny. I was like, oh, God.
Nothing
then,
is like Colts Neck.
I'm a very light sleeper.
I hear horses in the morning. Birds chirping.
It's true, though. I'm a light sleeper, so hearing or a horn honk, I'm like, oh, now I'm up.
Right.
So, of course, what do? I bought a copper pot. I bought a pressure cooker in the middle of the night. This is what I did.
What?
Because when I don't sleep, I'm an infomercial, another one.
Junkie.
Oh. I'm a product.
You bought the copper pot?
Oh, I got it. No, so this is what I did. I hear horns honking. I can't sleep. I wake up. Reno's like, shush up. And I'm like, he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, nope. So I wait till next week comes. I'm going to have a copper pot. I'm going to have this amazing pressure cooker. That's what I do. I shop. So that was my weekend. How was your weekend, girl?
I had fun following Reno on Twitter because it was him in a tuxedo everywhere. I'm like, look at Reno tweeting in a tuxedo.
That he wants to.
He's hysterical. He's like, look at me. I'm like, if you take one more picture. You know, I'm actually tired of pictures. So I kind of just want to have fun. He takes pictures. No, we're having, I think, brunch yesterday. He's taking pictures with his champagne, with the fireplace in the back.
All about Reno.
Oh, my. He's
it's
really.
It's like Marsha. Yeah. Reno.
He really is funny. He tells everyone, I'm the star. I'm like, oh, God. He really is.
How many tuxedos does he own?
You know, I want to tell you something. He owns, I think, two. He owns a black one, and then I think he has one with the cream jacket. But you want to know the funniest thing?
What?
One of his really good friends has a tuxedo place in Brooklyn.
Of course.
And he's, of course.
I'm not shocked.
And I have to tell you, sometimes he gets such a kick where he'll be like, I have this new tuxedo. You got to take a look at it. And like, yeah. He'll be like, all right, I want to wear this for the night.
Should every man
but he always,
own...
But he always...
Yes,
he
every
always,
man should own a tuxedo.
But if there are a few times where he did get one from his friend, but he always has his own shirt.
Mm-hmm.
He likes his bow tie.
Right.
So,
my
yeah.
father has a black tuxedo.
and a cream jacket tuxedo. Beautiful. He got them.
He has Ferragamo tuxedo shoes.
Beautiful.
My dad has gorgeous ones.
But every guy should own at least one.
Every man should own at least one tuxedo.
I agree.
You know, I don't even, my boyfriend doesn't own a tuxedo, and I don't remember a time that he needed to be wearing one. Like, we just don't live that life, you know? I guess if we were the kind of people that went to a lot of black tie events, we would have purchased a tuxedo by now, because it's obviously cheaper than renting if you have to keep on, you know, if you have a lot of events and stuff. But, I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, you know, he has a couple of really nice suits, so he doesn't have a tuxedo.
I don't think he needs one. If you don't go to a lot of black ties, I have to tell you, you could really, I mean, the stores today, they really do. Like, when you rent them, they're constantly coming up, like, beautiful charcoal grays and navies, and there are so many. So,
but we're past the age that, like, our friends are getting married,
exactly.
So it's not like we need a tuxedo for weddings. Okay. And like I said, we don't live, if we do go to a charity event, it's never black tie. It's always, like, relatively casual. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be the new trend now. Like, we've been to major charity events where people do not show up. Maybe it's a New York City thing. They don't show up in tuxedos anymore. I was so shocked because we went to this one and he wore his suit and he looked amazing and beautiful. And I figured he's in a suit. Let me wear like a really fancy schmancy gown because, you know, it's what the woman's wearing, really. Mm. Like if I'm in a cute cocktail dress, that means his suit is like casual. If I wear a gown, then his suit's more important, you know.
Right.
And we were like overdressed. I was surprised. Wow. It was this major event that it didn't say black tie on the things, said black tie optional, but I figured it's New York City, people are coming.
Now. Black tie optional.
Well, last night, was it black tie optional? Or no, it said black tie. So were a lot of the men wearing tuxedos last night?
Of course.
Okay.
It was black tie. It was, oh my gosh, everything was
full
done.
On.
And they had the whole place was theirs. On one side when we came up, there was a whole, you know, the outside and the whole ballroom where they had cocktail hour.
Oh, how beautiful.
And then you went into the main ballroom. I mean, they probably had about 300 people.
Wow.
They had
bigger than
a
wedding.
I would say it had to be at least 250. The whole place was taken.
Well, I'm glad you had a beautiful day yesterday.
I did.
I was with your son. I had a nice family day. We went to church together. Your son came with me. Mass was beautiful. Do you know what the priest said? It was very interesting because I said, Father, when's the next confession? And he said, Nicole, every Saturday is confession. And he said, after listening to, I said, well, obviously I haven't been in a while, so I wouldn't know that. And I said, but I realized after listening to the speaker last week how important it is. And he goes, there's so many studies done that when people go to confession less, therapy increases. And when people go to confession more, less people go to therapy.
No, but that's only because people are getting out whatever their demons are, but they're not necessarily being helped.
No, but I'm just saying, it's just a study he said
been...
that people feel good.
Ooh.
He goes, and it's for free.
But
people sometimes like to talk and get it out. Yes, definitely.
Right,
some people do need therapy and they do need that feedback.
I've been to confession.
But
I think
he just
since
said
I was
it's
in
very,
Catholic school,
it's
I think
very
I was about 13.
That more people who go to confession, you know, when confession increases, therapy decreases, he said.
I think it's funny you say that because it's so funny how our views have changed.
Has totally
because
changed.
Because we grew up Catholic school, all girls school, and it was always go to confession. Like nuns, we were taught by nuns. But then, like, as I got
speaking
older,
of nuns, hold on. Has anyone watched on PBS every week Call the Midwives?
Oh my God. I started watching that show in its first season, and then I just sort of got busy and forgot. Is it great? Is
I
it
love
still great?
It. It's great. And you know what? It really
the
portrays the nuns how we remember them growing up, Teresa. This, oh, love it.
I love nuns.
That's my new show.
I love nuns.
I love nuns. Teresa and I want to go on a pilgrimage in September.
I really do.
Wow.
Yeah. And
where?
To Italy. And the nuns cook for you breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
And you stay with them. And then you're free for dinner. But I think it would be something
no,
like really
No, because you know
phenomenal.
What? It really blows my mind. So that's what I was saying. So I always went to Catholic school. And then, you know, my parents kind of got, and I'm not knocking it, but they kind of got tired of the Catholic Church. So they always went to a Christian church, whether it was, you know, First Baptist. Like in Dallas, my family's, they go to First Baptist and it's beautiful. But, you know, growing up Catholic, when Nicole and I first started going to a different church, some Christian churches are very, woo, give me an amen. Now I love that. But when you're come from a Catholic church, which is very
conservative.
And then like some Christian churches were like, oh my
hallelujah.
Gosh.
Hallelujah.
Like,
raising
like some
the
people,
hand.
Like,
they,
you know, like even my son when he was little, Mom, why do these people cry out loud? I'm like, yeah, why are they crying? Like, people don't cry in church. I'm like, babe. But then I told him, I said, you know, Giovanni, you don't know what somebody else is going through. And just always have compassion and empathy. Whatever they're going through, just pray for that person. But Catholic Church, you don't see people crying hysterical. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just
I don't.
Well, it's not at a church.
Anyone that's out there knows.
You won't see anyone raising their hands up, saying hallelujah, talking in tongues.
I've seen gospel churches. None I've seen that. Like how they roll, and it seems like actually that seems like a good time.
It's fun, but that's what I'm saying. That's how basically I raised my son. When Nicole kind of kept her kids in the Catholic Church because her husband was very, I'm not going to another church. I'm like, it's not another religion.
Religion and Catholic. Right.
So, like, you know, my parents always went, like I said, Christian churches, Baptist church, whatever.
So in a nutshell, we have two different views.
My mother always
Catholicism, you go to confession. Christian churches,
you don't need to go to confession. You confess your sins directly to God. You pray and say, Lord, forgive me, whatever. So that's the way I kind of raised my son. Like, my son, he never went to confession, I don't think. But now we go back to the Catholic. No, I'm just saying that sounds horrible.
I'm taking him on Saturday.
But my son's coming
with me 5:00.
But my son goes to church every Sunday. But now it's funny because he goes back to the Catholic Church because that's where Nicole and her kids go. So we go there a lot with them, St. Mary's, on Sunday. But that's why it's so bizarre to me when I hear the priest saying, and I'm not knocking it because that's the way I was raised and brought up. But you need to go to confession and confess your sins to a priest. When my mother's like, that's not biblical. Where does it say you have to confess your sins to?
But the larger message is more important. Like, Nicole, I like that point only because it says a lot about communication of the things that you don't really want to talk about. Like, if you have something really important on your mind, maybe you don't want to share it with your significant other, you don't want to tell your friends, you know, you should have somebody in your life that is sort of objective that you can say either this horrible thought you're having or these fears that you're having. I think it feels good to get that stuff out. And for some people, it's a priest. For other people, it's a rabbi. For some people, it's a therapist. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And it could be your mother, could be a friend. I think you should always have that one person that you say all those things to, because otherwise that kind of shit just eats its way through.
Hold on, that's what Father Jeff was saying. It really makes you bitter inside.
Nicole, what's the joke now, Teresa? I'm that person you tell everything to.
Saint Teresa.
Who needs a breeze? No, I'm teasing.
No, but Father Jeff was really sweet yesterday. He said, you don't understand when people come and confess their sins and they just let it all out. They don't keep that bitterness inside. And we spoke about bitterness before. And he said, when people hold that bitterness inside them, what people start doing is they put other people down to make themselves feel better. And how many people do we know in this world? I know I do. That they're not nice to people. There's no kindness anymore. It's very
hurt people.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's
people
true.
Have
yeah.
to let that out. So you know what I find so amazing though, Mother Teresa. I mean, she was like the cutest little old lady, and they're gonna make her a saint, by the way. But she went to confession every single day. What did she have to confess about?
I know. I was about to ask what you have to confess.
She fed the poor. She fed the sick. She took care of the sick. She did this. What? And every single day, she went to confession. In my eyes, she was
maybe
perfect.
She had lots of impure thoughts. Maybe she had to like be like, yeah, I just
no, I don't think so.
I fed 400 people, but I thought about dick all day.
Oh my gosh! Oh no! Nicole's gonna be like, oh no. Gosh.
I don't know. Maybe one of the guys she was feeding, she was like, wow, he's good looking.
Yeah. She's look. Just because you take a vow of chastity doesn't mean you don't have the desires and the needs and the thoughts.
Mother Teresa. Not
you
Mother
don't
Teresa.
Know that she's a woman.
She was so good.
Maybe by the time she was old, but when she was a young, when she was just Mama Teresa, when she was. Like Sister Teresa?
But every single day, I was.
All right, now you're making me think. I guess I'll have to go to confession.
We're going to take Cooper with us.
Yeah, but I think that would feel funny. Father Jeff, like, he knows me, and then we're going to talk to him, and then we have to see
Father
him.
Jeff? I can't confess to a guy named Jeff.
Father Jeff.
Father Jeff.
Hey, Father.
I can't wait. I can't wait till the priest...
What if you call him Poppy? Hey, Poppy.
Hey, Poppy. I can't wait till the priests have all, like, the pretentious names that, like, people are giving their kids now. Like, you know, hey, Father Jeff. Jason, Father Tyler, Father, you know what I mean? It's going to be so funny. Father Apple.
I can't.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, let me ask you something about that. Only because I truly do not know the answer to this question, and I should because I watch a ton of murder shows. What if you go to a priest and you're in confession and you say, I killed somebody?
I can answer that.
No, I'm going to tell you
the story. He just said this.
A priest, because we were talking about it. He goes, it's the only place you can come
John
for free.
John Leonetti's friend who was a priest, and he told the story.
There have been priests that have been put in jail. True story. Because they will not confess. They can hear the worst of the worst sins, and they take that in. They can never ever, ever.
And if
ever
they do, they get, what is it called?
Repeat,
when they get
decanonized, they will get thrown out of the priesthood.
Of the priesthood. If they
Ever repeat
a confession.
A confession. So they would never, ever, ever, ever.
He just spoke about it. It's funny, Cooper, that you asked this. He just spoke about it. A speaker last week said that. That's why he was saying you need to feel so confident that when you confess your sins, that nothing ever will be repeated from a priest's
right.
mouth.
It never will. And Father
said,
Jeff just reiterated that to me on Sunday.
Take it, that they will get thrown out of
the priesthood
if they repeat something.
Because therapists have the same thing, that you can't, you know, the client privilege thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think even a priest is even 10 times more.
I mean,
they just have it.
Because they answer to God.
Because they're accountable to
not the law.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
I have to say, though,
no,
that's
I'm not
why
making
I'm...
fun, but I'm just saying.
No, right, I hear you.
They're accountable to the man upstairs. And what is it from the Bronx Tale? And that man is a lot, whatchamacallit?
I don't know that line.
Well, actually, I think he said the guy down here is a lot more powerful than the guy up there. But no, the guy up there is a lot more powerful than the guy down here. So,
no,
really?
But speaking about that, like religion.
God is a lot
like
more powerful than a judge.
And cop shows, I love Blue Bloods. They show all the time, the family. Did you ever watch that Blue Bloods?
I've seen it. You know, it's funny. I used to host an event. It used to be twice a year. Now I think they do it once a year because of money. On behalf of Best Friends Animal Society.
Yeah.
And Blue Bloods was really involved, and every year I would co-host it with one of the cast members of Blue Bloods would show up. And it would be me and the Blue
cast.
Bloods person. Like, for some reason, Blue Bloods is really into...
Were you thinking of Wahlberg
and
Blue Bloods? Blue Bloods, like,
well,
you put it together?
Maybe, yeah, maybe. But that show is really involved with Best Friends Animal Society.
That's
like,
wonderful.
I guess they give a lot of money to them, so they're always lending themselves, anytime there's an event,
to draw people.
So it's
that's cool.
My favorite show. I love the dialogue. I love at the end. I love how they pray. They just at the table every Sunday dinner. They pray. They just,
is that right?
Yeah,
oh.
They show them always. They always say grace. I love it. It's a good show. Great dialogue.
All right, I have to check it out. I haven't seen it. I can't get into anything that Donnie Wahlberg does because he's married to that batshit crazy stupid.
But you know what? I like.
I can't stand her.
Really?
The fact that he married her. And the fact that she's, forget it. Don't get me started on her.
Tell me why you don't like her.
I don't like her because of her anti-vaxxer stance and the fact that she there's
a kid with autism.
Well,
who's autistic.
Right. She's a kid with autism who allegedly is now cured of autism. But because she decided to blame it on the vaccines, it started this whole movement.
I know.
And
we
even
can't
though,
get into that, though. I know.
Hey, listen, there are, and it's been proven with the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella, that you should do them separately because, and I made my children, when it was time to get them vaccinated, I did
you
the
did
three
it,
vaccines
separate, right.
separately because... Kids who right after they did
all
get
right.
that MMR, believe it or not.
All right. We're not going to get into
all
the
right.
whole thing, but I just appreciate. I just want to.
But you
to
did
know
vaccinate that. Your children.
I did.
Right. She's telling people not to, and as a result, we have a rise of whooping cough and measles in this country.
Well, we can't talk about this because Teresa at
I did
at
vaccinate
one point,
my kid as a baby. I did
as a baby.
As a baby, I did. But then when he got into high school and they wanted him to get
HPV thing,
a tetanus shot. I'm not giving it. I'm sorry. You know what? You come up with my son. Praise God. Thank you. I pray all the time over him. Sometimes you want protection. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever. But you know what? When you're in high school and they want you to get, I don't know, all my friends give them their daughters HPV. Guess what? Tell your kids not to have sex. They're too freaking young anyway. Okay, that. And then they wanted him to get a tetanus shot. He's not getting a tetanus shot. There's no reason for it. Pediatrician, he needs a tetanus shot. All right, if he steps on a nail or if he cuts himself on a can, I'll take him to the hospital, get a tetanus shot. No reason to give a stupid shot. Then there's another one.
So later on in life, you were against.
Yeah, trust me, I worked in a hospital. Before we started filming, I told you.
Right.
It killed me that they had to give me, oh my God, the Hep B shot.
I know.
Another
I
one.
I work in a hospital too. I volunteer. And every year, I have to go.
It bothered me that I had to get it.
Every year, I have to go and get the DTaP. Now.
Yes.
I just haven't done it yet. Well, actually, I did go there and they were at lunch and they're like, can you sit here for an hour? I'm like, no, I can't sit here for an hour. So I've been trying to go back to get the DTaP and you have to get tetanus and all that kind of stuff. But every year they do the TB test.
Yes.
But I like it because I get a free flu shot and I like that idea.
No.
Well, that's good.
See me?
Hey, listen.
I cannot sit. Do you know when I went back to college, you know, they wanted me to have all the vaccines? Mm. I wouldn't get it.
I knew the doctor.
Well, when
forged.
I went to school in
he
Europe,
forged the papers.
He's
too,
dead Tara. Now, so he can't get in trouble.
He can't. Otherwise, I would never say it
he
either.
He forged all my papers. I'm like, I am not getting vaccines. I'm healthy. I went to South Africa, didn't even get the malaria thing. I mean, but then again, it was
when
South
I went to school
Africa,
in Italy,
States,
I had to
but...
get all these vaccinations too. Or no. St. John's wouldn't let us go
them.
Over there, and I let the same. Our good friend, he's dead now, so I could say it, but I won't say his name. He forged it too, and I didn't get any of my vaccines. I was like, I'm old enough now. Come
older,
on.
I think as you get older,
as long as your immune system is good. I mean, I got all my shots when I was a kid.
Right.
I need to get them now when I was older. And I figured, oh my goodness, it was before I had children, and I knew, you know, within the next 10 years, I was going to be my childbearing years. I was like, I'm not getting vaccines this late in life.
That's right. Mom.
So
right.
I didn't feel comfortable with it. So I made him forge it.
So Giovanni in high school, his health record was blank.
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 And Teresa would go right at it with the nurse all the time. She would say, we are not going to let him in school. And she's like, oh, no, he will be
because
let
in
school.
Because he was in
Wait,
high school.
So how did they let him in school then? I thought they're not supposed to.
I have no clue. Really, I don't even know how it happens. I don't even know how he got away 4 years in high school with that one vaccine. I don't know. See, God must be with me. Oh, my gosh.
All righty.
On that note.
But I will watch Blue Bloods anyway.
Yes, watch Blue Bloods. The dialogue
and
is
And it was great
awesome.
Being back here today on this beautiful day. Enjoy. It's going to be
gorgeous, everyone. Yes. Keep on spreading the word. Girls in heels.
Girls in heels. Yes. Thank you. We're going to have to leave it there. Now, you guys, thank you so much for letting everyone know that we are out there. Keep telling your friends. We need more listeners until every pair of ears on the face of this earth is listening to this podcast. We are not going to rest.
Yes. You got it. No sleep.
But thank you.
No sleep.
Thank you for listening. We're back next week with another exciting episode of Girls in Heels. Thank you so much for downloading. We love you.
Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you. Go.